Hi, welcome to this week's audio podcast edition of Gay USA. I'm your announcer and associate producer, Bill Ballman. This week's Gay USA was recorded in New York City on January 31st, 2018. Lots of news to get to with Ann and Andy, but I want to remind you about our website. It's gayusatv.org. There's lots of information on the show, as well as you can watch video of our program each week there on the homepage of gayusatv.org. Check it out. So now here's Ann Northrup and Andy Hum with this week's LGBT news. Enjoy.
We have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard. Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
But President Trump no longer recognizes Gay USA. The State of the Union under this new regime no longer references LGBT Americans.
Well, I can't say I'm not sorry to, or that I am sorry to not have us come out of his lips, but more on that later. Meanwhile, every Republican senator and Mike Pence were needed to confirm anti-LGBT Sam Brownback as your new ambassador at large for international religious freedom.
A federal judge has rejected the homophobic excuse for discrimination by the Providence, Rhode Island Fire Department.
Is acceptance of LGBT people going down? A GLAAD poll sees a, well, it says here, worrying trend. I'm not so sure it's
we'll talk about it.
Desperate enough.
But I am worried about what's going on in Indonesia, ongoing. This week, police arrested trans women and are trying to force them to be men.
Ugly story. And a Russian gay couple married abroad, returned to Russia, and then had to flee.
AIDS and gay activist Dennis Perone.
Perone.
The father of medical marijuana has died in California.
Really good guy. We told you last week about the first woman Oscar nominee for Best Cinematography. What we didn't tell you is that she is an out lesbian.
Yeah. And America is Hard to See is a new play that dares to explore the humanity of people on the sex offender registry.
All right, our president. He, at one point during the State of the Union speech, he gave some list of categories of people that were going to be protected. I frankly could not even pay close enough attention to get the full context and couldn't bear to rewind to hear it again. But I did notice it did not include sexual orientation or gender identity.
No. The most alarming thing to me, and really we should be alarmed, was this business of I want my cabinet members to be able to fire any federal employee they want to, which is all about setting up the firing of Mueller and people of the Justice Department and people at the FBI. And this is fascism, folks. I mean, I'm not exaggerating in my language here.
Well, there's a story today that he wants the Justice Department to prosecute Mueller.
And, you know, he's
and this memo
lying about the Nunes memo. And then, but of course, he's going to release that. And it's all
Nunes is a monster.
But he did call for prison reform, realizing that he and his crime family are headed for the prison system. And he did call for lower prescription drug prices.
Fat chance.
That you will get them.
He's promised a lot of things.
Even Bernie Sanders applauded for that.
Well, I always find it depressing when he gives a speech that sounds coherent.
Well,
it was a well-written speech, and it, even though the commentators tore it apart in terms of facts and lies and everything, my fear is that people watched it and said, "Wow, what a great guy!"
Well, he's always known about speech making. According to Ivana Trump, his first wife, in her divorce papers, he kept a book of, and this is not a lie, Hitler's speeches on his bedstand. Yeah. Hitler's speeches.
Yeah.
This is in the divorce papers.
Yeah.
Anyway, the response was given by Joe Kennedy III of Massachusetts. We could debate about that. But his guest,
I didn't like it.
His guest at the ceremony, although he was up in Massachusetts, he invited, we have a picture of her, trans soldier Staff Sergeant Patricia King, who has served for 19 years in the service and was the first to get gender confirmation surgery from the military. I'm surprised that Trump didn't look up at her and say, lock her up.
I'm surprised he didn't look up at Melania and say something similar. She looked great.
Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg didn't go. Apparently only about four justices went.
John Lewis didn't go either.
And we did hear, by the way, because I've been telling you that I heard from our friend Professor Art Leonard that Justice Kennedy had not hired new clerks for the next term. Well, now we're hearing that he has hired clerks for the next term.
Yeah.
Making him less all I can say is less likely to retire.
Yeah. I don't think his retirement is imminent. Just one woman's guess.
But we're worried about Justice Sotomayor's health. We're worried about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's health.
And longevity. Just to go back a second, I was not impressed by Joe Kennedy's rebuttal speech. I thought it was too flowery, too attempting to be highfalutin from a guy who looked like he was about 18 years old. I just wanted him to look into the camera and say, look, you just heard what sounded like a very slick speech from the president, but I have to tell you, it is full of lies and misrepresentations. Here is a list of 10 of them. Here are the 10 things he should be doing and that we will do when and if we regain power. Please go out and vote in November for Democrats. This is the real story. And instead, he goes through all this,
Not to disagree with that, but he's always been a big advocate of transgender folks, and he's head of a thing at the House dealing with those issues.
A committee or
yes.
something.
So, you know,
but what does that have to do with how he connects with the American people who have just seen the president's speech and who are looking for what the Democrats have to offer in opposition?
What I'm really sick of is people like Savannah Guthrie talking about where are people appealing to the radical middle? I am so sick of that stuff.
How about all this talk about the extremist Democrats? Ridiculous. But I did think the best rebuttal was Kamala Harris for about 2 minutes after the speech. He should be the one to lose his job.
She's a prosecutor.
Exactly, and she talked about
that.
So
was Joe Kennedy, by the way.
And she was quite personable and eloquent and straight to the subject.
Let's not talk too much about 2020 and the presidential race. Let's focus on 2018. We have congressional elections, the entire House and a third of the Senate. And this is what we need to focus on this year.
Okay.
All right, some other Trump things. By the way, in the transmilitary case that's in Washington State, Lambda and OutServe SLDN are now seeking a permanent injunction about Trump's efforts to exclude transgender folks from the military.
Well, it's a good sign that he makes these stupid tweets that he then tries to turn into policy, and we're able to fight some of them off. That's a good thing. The Creating Change Conference held by the National Gay and Lesbian that's not their current name, the National LGBT Task Force,
right,
was held in D.C. last week, and hundreds of attendees at that went out into the streets and marched to the Trump Hotel and objected to all his policies, so people were out there demonstrating before the speech.
We object to the confirmation by the Senate of Sam Brownback as your new ambassador at large for international religious freedom. Now, the vote was 50-49. Two Republicans were out.
McCain and Corker.
They needed Pence to get to 50,
And he got them.
And
they
he
got
did.
It.
And but now, but think of what this means. This means that every single Republican senator approves of anti-LGBT bigotry, because that's what this guy is, a bigot.
And a fiscal moron and a lot of other things.
And this includes Ohio's Rob Portman, who has the gay yep. son, and all these people you see like Flake and Susan Collins, who people think of as, you know, at least moderate conservatives. They're not. They're voting for bigots.
Yes. Well, and I would say the flip side that's good news is that
yes.
none of these so-called conservative Democrats voted for him. They stayed together to vote against
including
him.
Including Doug Jones. He had 47 Democrats and two independents voting against him.
Yeah. Now, also rejecting Trump, though, was the Guggenheim Museum in New York.
I thought this was an Onion story.
Well, it was a little cheeky.
Yes, it was.
So to speak. The White House, as all White Houses, requested some art to have on loan at the White House
they
for
wanted
display.
They wanted a Van Gogh from the Guggenheim. There it is. It's and they wanted it for the private quarters, and the museum said no. What they offered instead was... I've seen this thing,
yeah.
the golden toilet.
Yeah.
There's always a big line, so I have never used it.
Well, it's work of art. It's a work of art. It is
yeah.
a comment on inequality and, you know...
What, you know what the title of it is?
America?
America.
Yeah.
And the artist was funny.
But the Guggenheim, when they installed it as an artwork a couple of years ago, or last year, whatever it was, put it... into a toilet stall
yes.
as a working toilet, and thousands of people have used it as a toilet, and they offered that to the White House.
And he said, I've already got one. No, I don't know what he said.
Well, the White House...
But he's not getting that Van Gogh.
Yeah.
All right. But his buddy, Steve Wynn, is going, accused of sexual harassment multiple times, horrible things, and he was the chair of the Republican Finance Committee and a
yep.
big buddy of Trump's,
yep.
and he has had to resign, and people are starting to get back his money, campaign donations.
All right. Let's move to the federal courts.
Well, okay.
Unless you have other...
I mean, I just want to say how, you know, heartbreaking what Trump is putting up in terms of the DACA thing with all these poison pills, and I don't know that this is ever going to be resolved.
Absolutely predictable.
It's kind of good to hear the DACA people say, we don't want our parents expelled so that we can stay. I don't know how that's ever going to resolve itself. And we told you about that guy he appointed to the Drug Control Office as unqualified.
Oh, the 24-year-old or 23-year-old
yes,
or whatever?
He is leaving. Well, we're taping on January 31st, today.
All right. Then. If you want to check out the resistance this weekend on Saturday, I guess, the 3rd. Is that Saturday? Yes.
Yes.
Here in New York, HRC, the Human Rights Campaign, is having its annual dinner. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is the main speaker, although now I see that Governor Cuomo is also showing up to speak.
Endorsed by HRC for governor.
Yeah, so that he would show up at the dinner or vice versa.
By the way,
Gillibrand's the main attraction.
They're talking about canceling the annual St. Patrick's party at the White House now that you have a gay prime minister in Ireland, and who's fairly who's fairly conservative.
That would be really low.
Well, but they're sensitive to the fact that there's been a lot of criticism from Irish politicians of Trump. Now, this was something this is something only instituted by Clinton
yeah.
during the peace talks and.
But still, it's
Paul Ryan is still going to have his luncheon.
Clinton, that was 20 years ago. This is
they've been doing it ever since.
Yeah,
yes,
that's my point. So that's quite a change to reject the Irish.
Well,
how are they?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Justice Kennedy has hired clerks for the next term.
Okay. And in the First Circuit Court of Appeals, which covers Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Rhode Island,
yep.
the court has upheld an award to a Providence, Rhode Island lesbian firefighter who sued for harassment on the basis of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act,
yep.
sex discrimination, but sex plus discrimination, discriminated against as a woman and as a lesbian.
So the city argues, well, you know, if you're going to use that, then you have to prove that gay male firefighters were not discriminated against in order to succeed in this argument. Because that, this is what they said, and the court rejected this. They upheld a $700,000 jury award. I said it was very homophobic. It was ridiculous.
That makes no sense at all.
It doesn't make sense.
And the court found that the harassment was egregious.
Abhorrent.
Not a good sign.
Her name was Lori Franchina. Thank you for standing up for yourself.
Yes.
And it shows that you know, I was a little confused why she was using the sex discrimination thing, because Providence has a LGBT rights law, so does the state, but this was so that you could sue in federal court.
Yeah.
Sex discrimination.
All right. In another federal court decision in Iowa, a federal court said that the University of Iowa could not forbid funding to a campus group called Business Leaders in Christ for barring LGBT leaders. And the court said it's not that you can't punish them for that, but you are selectively enforcing your non-discrimination rules. You have
a Muslim group and that only admits Shia Muslims, and
right.
you say that's okay.
Yeah.
So you got to be consistent here if you're going to do this.
Right. So Business Leaders in Christ can exclude LGBT leaders.
In Ohio, in Hamilton County, you know, there was a juvenile court judge there who's trying to decide whether to side with a 17-year-old trans boy, whether he should be able to pursue hormone therapy. Now, the biological parents don't want this. They're big Christians, and they don't want it. And the grandparents say, we accept him as who he is, and we want to do it. So we're waiting on this decision.
Well, it's a custody case of where he's going to end up living. And he argues that his parents have essentially told him he should kill himself and
yes.
should go to religious conversion therapy.
They stuck him in a room for 6 hours, making him recite Bible verses.
But the grandparents are fine with him, so
I thought torture was prohibited.
Well, in this country, are you kidding? We're still arguing over capital punishment and corporal punishment.
And the biggest hand that Trump got in the State of the Union was, I'm going to keep Guantanamo open.
Where he hasn't sent anyone, and where Obama never sent anyone, and there are only 41 people left there.
It's an outrage.
It's all this knee-jerk, punitive revenge. I did finally see three billboards in outside Ebbing, Missouri. I found that very distasteful.
Very disturbing. It's a vigilante drama,
yeah.
and you're asked to celebrate it,
yeah.
including in the closing scene. And
everybody's taking revenge on
yeah.
everybody else,
yeah.
sequentially.
It's very American these days.
Well,
But it is the favorite for the Oscar with your favorite film, which is
Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Much more congenial.
They say it's going to be one of those two. Go to goldderby.com. Our friend Tom O'Neill runs that. Goldderby.com, and you can see what the odds are for every category.
Or go to the movies and make your own decision.
No. I'm saying if you want to win the pool at your Oscar party. All right. And another court decision in New York, the appellate division here in Albany is preventing a sperm donor from interfering in a lesbian couple's family by seeking partner rights and custody. They overruled a family court judge in, what is that? I'm not going to say. Chemung County?
Okay. And a court has rejected a lawsuit against Grindr, the dating
yeah.
app. A man sued because his ex put up a phony profile of him.
Many phony profiles of him.
That drew thousands of responses.
Showing up at his office for sex. You said you wanted to have sex.
Must have been hot. So he wanted to sue Grindr because he asked Grindr to take down the profiles, and they wouldn't or couldn't. And the court said, you can't sue Grindr.
Well, the judge said that Grindr didn't create the profiles. And he says Grindr ignored 50 requests to delete the posts.
Well, one wonders also why he didn't sue his ex, but one has to assume that the money is where Grindr is rather than the ex. That's usually what leads to those things.
We want to call it crime news. You know, we told you about the murder of this gay kid, Blaze Bernstein, by Sam Woodward. Now, it turns out that the perpetrator is a member of a neo-Nazi group called Atomwaffen Division. And they have been involved in 3 high-profile killings, even though it's only an 80-member group. They promote violence against LGBT people, Jews, Muslims, and African Americans. And they want to overthrow the U.S. government through terrorism and guerrilla warfare, and very devoted to Charles Manson. Now, the question is, what was Blaze Bernstein doing with this guy, who was a classmate from high school? But
the heart wants what the heart wants.
I don't know.
Yeah. In Oregon, a trans woman has won transfer to a women's prison from a men's prison. Michelle Wright, 27 years old. We have a picture of Michelle. She's in prison for attempted robbery. She won transfer to the women's prison. She won a monetary settlement, the right to receive hormones, and a policy change in the prison system.
Okay, good for her.
Yeah.
We have some good news. You know, you've written to us and said it's very depressing, the stuff you talk about on this show.
But
We have some good news from Virginia. The Senate has passed bills protecting sexual orientation and gender identity in public employment and housing. It was bipartisan in the vote. That's the third year in a row that they passed it, and now it's up to the House of Delegates, which is narrowly controlled by Republicans.
Yes, after those one vote recounts and everything. And in North Carolina, the Charlotte Mecklenburg School Board has added sexual orientation and gender identity non-discrimination to their multiculturalism policy.
And in Illinois, the Glenbrook High School's District Board of Education passed a policy allowing students to use the facilities that conform with their gender identity. It was quite a contentious meeting, but they did it.
Okay.
And
I want to highlight a local program to fight discrimination. In Wisconsin, in a small town called Mount Horeb, the neighbors basically got together to do a door-to-door campaign to fight anti-LGBT discrimination. And we found a local news story on this that we thought was quite heartwarming. So we want to show you that and show you what can be done locally.
A local organization is marking 1 year supporting the LGBTQ community with a new initiative. New Tonight, Jennifer Cleese takes us to Mount Horeb, where the group is reaching out to businesses to join in the effort showing their community doesn't discriminate.
Those folks have found us and have found a place where they and their kids are welcome.
Mount Horeb's LGBTQ community has found a home in PFLAG.
Hello.
How are you?
About 2 or 3 months ago, we began working on this idea.
Now, 1 year after creating the support group that formed after a transgender child's story gained national attention, they're visiting their neighbors, asking them to join in their fight.
Here's a little letter that talks about our campaign right now.
A movement to stop discrimination.
We wanted to kind of counter some of the trend that's going on in the country to find ways to legalize discrimination against LGBTQ people.
This is the cling. We'll put a new window.
All right.
The PFLAG members hope one day these window decals will blanket the entire Mount Horeb community and beyond.
We'll try to spread as far and wide as we can.
I just wanted people to know that when they approach our door, it doesn't matter who you identify with, you're welcome here.
The Waltons at American Family Insurance were the first business to join in PFLAG's effort, hoping their small town can set an example.
Maybe they'll look at us and say, wow, look at what they were able to accomplish in such a small town.
Just one more step in the right direction for a community that's striving for equality.
When people realize they aren't alone, when they realize there are people who are willing to stand with them and help them and support them and walk with them, that means a lot.
In Mount Horeb, Jennifer Cleese.
Thank you so much.
27 News.
Something similar was done in Mississippi when they passed that horrible law, where people started putting up stickers in their windows saying, we welcome everybody for your business here, and to counter it. In fact, they had trouble finding anybody who said they wouldn't serve LGBT people.
I had a fight with a guy I know a couple of weeks ago who was saying, you know, we really ought to be doing something in this country, and we got to get out and fight. And I said, you idiot. People are doing stuff all over the place. Why don't you educate yourself?
Why don't you do something?
And what are you doing, I said to him.
Yes.
Nothing. But this grassroots action, whether it is what's happening politically with people running for office this year, or efforts like this, or local school boards or city councils, it's so encouraging.
It's the wake-up call America needed, perhaps. I mean, it's a terrible thing to have to live through, and we may not survive it. But
I think it's the tradition of the best of the way the country is operated. Now, also horrible things happen at the local level. But
yes.
But we are so focused on the national level when so much can and should be done at the local level.
Yes.
That is the end of Ann's sermon for
today. Okay. Following up on a case in San Antonio where a trans woman was murdered, K-E-N-N-E McFadden, 26, back in April. The police have arrested Mark Daniel Lewis in the crime. In this case, here's the thing. He said he was assisting this trans woman who was drunk, and then he says, she grabbed my buttocks, and then he pushed her in the San Antonio River and just went away, and then she was found dead. And so it's kind of a trans panic defense, and he administered the death penalty for it.
A little less dire, but also not nice. In North Carolina, in Charlotte, there is a church called the Wedgwood Church that's an LGBT-friendly church, mm-hmm. and someone decided that they would defile the door of the church.
They can't spell. It makes me wonder if Trump did this. You know, I mean, of course, if you got his tickets to the State of the Union, they were to the State of the Union.
Yeah, I read a headline that said we can't blame them for it.
Okay.
Anyway,
this is pretty awful. But this happened right after that.
For those who can't see it, it says fags are pedophiles, but spells pedophiles F-H.
And P-I-E-D.
No, I think that's not an I. That's a handle on the door.
Oh.
You can see the three handles.
All right.
There.
Well, it looks all right. Yeah. Anyway, this happened right after the school district voted to increase support that you talked about before, that Charlotte Mecklenburg voted to support LGBTQ students. So they had a unity vigil afterwards. Do we show that? Yeah, there they are.
Yeah, there it is.
This is a congregation that is half LGBT, half African American, and they're not. So, and they've also
presumably there's some overlap there.
Yes, of course. And they raised a whole bunch of money to repaint the door and buy security cameras.
Okay. Well, also in the religious realm, in Utah, mm-hmm. there's this guy named Josh Weed. And a few years ago...
There he is with the whole family.
He and his wife
he's
and
a gay
the kids.
Guy.
Yeah, he came out as gay, but that he was married to a woman, and they were happy, and they were going to model...
And he's a family counselor.
They were going to model how a gay man could be happily and religiously married to a woman and have this relationship. Well, guess what? It didn't work out. Now, a few years down the road, they have announced that they are divorcing because they have decided that both of them deserve romantic relationships.
Platonic love is no substitute for romantic love.
And
it's vital to happiness. Oh.
And they apologize to the LGBT communities for having misled people. And
giving people false hope that they could live this way.
Exactly. So, in the end, it's a good story.
So, are things getting better or are things getting worse? There's this GLAAD poll that came out this week.
Yeah.
It found some drops in acceptance of LGBTQ people by non-LGBTQ people, but it's from 53% to 49%, which is not even statistically significant. Now, sure, you know, we're living in the age of Trump where people are more open about their bigotry. Maybe some of them have changed their attitudes. The largest drop was 55% of LGBTQ adults report discrimination, up from 44% last year. So that's certainly the atmosphere that we're living in.
You also wonder how much of that is people being willing to report that. So some of it is within the margin of error. Some of it may be a little uptick. It's not entirely drastic. Meanwhile, the Williams Institute at the UCLA School of Law came out with a new report that says, and I found this a little startling, 700,000 LGBT people have had conversion therapy, half of them as adolescents, about half from medical professionals and half from religious people. And they, you know, project a lot more are going to be subject to this because only... When I've seen states outlaw it, I've thought, well, that's a little bold to outlaw that. But now it's clearer to me how necessary it is to pass these laws to outlaw this as malpractice.
In this play that I saw, which I'll talk about later, America's Hard to See, one of the characters, he's arrested for... Well, no, he's not arrested. He's caught having sex with a student, mm-hmm. all right, in his high school, but he just goes away. He goes to Love in Action, which is one of those conversion therapy things. And they say, you must confess everything. So... he talks about this in the thing, and the counselor goes, I'm required to report this to the authorities.
Yes.
Yikes.
Mandatory reporting.
Well, not on the seal of the confessional. Too bad you weren't a Catholic.
All right. International news, or do you have something?
Well, how about the ex-cop in Alabama who wants to run for sheriff in Limestone County, Jason White? The party won't let him do it. They say he's a gay guy. They say they found out that he was gay, and he wouldn't oppose same-sex marriage and abortion, which was on their litmus test of issues.
Presumably, this is the Republican Party.
Yes, it's the Republican Party. There is a Democratic incumbent, but he says he's going to run now as an independent.
Always available.
And Equality California has endorsed Gavin Newsom for mayor of
LA.
Not mayor, governor of California.
Oh, governor
of California.
Okay.
All right.
International news.
All right.
Well, the Olympics are coming up in South Korea very shortly, and the Human Rights Campaign has put out quite a list of out skiers, snowboarders, and skaters from a number of countries around the world. And they highlighted the fact that a lot of corporations are giving support to these people that, you know, for years people have been afraid to come out, and particularly in settings like this, they're afraid they'll lose their endorsements.
And corporations have been afraid to support, to feature, gay people in ads and things, but they're doing it.
They are doing it, and they have been doing it for a while. This seems to be a new level of support, and Procter & Gamble has done a spot with out gay freestyle skier Gus Kenworthy and his mother. And we thought it was kind of touching, so we thought you might like to see this.
Hi, Mom.
Dearest Gus, you were always a daredevil, and that's why what you've done isn't surprising to me at all. As you were growing up, I thought you were happy and successful and on your way. I didn't know that you secretly felt so insecure and ashamed. It was 2015, the year after your big breakout performance. You broke your leg. You asked me if you could talk to me about something. You lay with your head in my lap and said, Mum, you know, I've always wanted to tell you I'm gay. And I said, yeah, well, I think I know that. I remember I told you then, but I believe now, that any good person with a heart wouldn't care what your sexual preference is, as long as you're not hurting anybody. That was one of the first times that I saw you afraid. It was hate and negativity that you feared. You told the world who you were, and you saw the amazing reaction and support and love from your fans. There was nothing to hold you back. Now I see that you have more confidence, more inner strength. The world is watching you. Now you are a role model and can hopefully inspire others to share their stories and be proud of who they are. You've given me so many memories, not just the podiums or the big jumps or the magazine stories. I love remembering the hours the two of us have spent driving together, you singing to me in the car. I love your sensitivity and kindness and how much you care about others. You are such a wonderful son. I always told you to follow your heart with passion, and you did it, and you still do, and I love you for that. I love you, Gus. Love and kisses, Mum.
Oh, thank you, Mum.
Well, that gives you something to have some interest in at the Olympics.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else good that we can say that's going on? Well, yes, in Taiwan, an LGBT group has put up billboards for marriage equality right across from the executive offices of the parliament, and they want the legislature to act on a May 2017 court order that they do this within 2 years, and they say, we want it now. They want to wait till after the elections, it seems.
For those of you not able to read that text, it says in English translation, we're both mothers of the children. How long do we have to wait for equal rights to marry?
There they are.
Yeah. Okay. In Cuba...
Oh, well, all right. In Cuba, all right, a woman with a same-sex partner, this is a big deal there, according to the activists there, a woman with a same-sex partner was granted custody of her daughter's children after the daughter died of cancer. The father was in Ecuador, out of the picture, partner, her partner, she's a lesbian, is godmother to the kids. And so this is the first time they're saying that a non-heteronormative family has been awarded custody. It's not quite clear whether it's just to the grandmother or is it to both of them.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think the activists are being a little over the top about thinking that the court acknowledged the couple as having the custody.
But it's a nice, happy family.
It is, but at the same time, two gay men who are Cuban are seeking asylum in the Netherlands because they are gay activists in Cuba, but they are anti-Mariela Castro gay activists. There's a split in Cuba between the government gay activists in the person of Mariela as a supporter and the anti-government activists. So they're now in the Netherlands asking for asylum because they feel they've been harassed in Cuba.
And let's put the picture of that Russian gay couple up because we don't know where they are. They got married in Denmark, and when they returned to Russia, they had their documents stamped and approved for reentry as married. They were charged with intentional damage to passports or negligence, and they faced a fine of 300 rubles, which I looked it up. It's $5.33. But there was so much publicity around this that first they had to go into hiding in Russia, and now they have had to flee the country. They're just unhinged by gay stuff over there still in Russia. Yeah. I don't want to go.
Well, don't go to Indonesia either, or at least to the Banda Aceh town in Aceh province. The cops there raided local beauty salons and arrested 12 trans women working as hairdressers, cut their hair forcibly, put them in men's clothing, and are trying to force them into a male identity.
You're not going to be let out until they really become men. They made them run. They had to go on a run. They had to chant loudly until their male voices came out. And the police called it the community sickness operation.
Well, we've known that Aceh province was the hotbed for this really fundamentalist attitude towards
Sharia
gay people.
Law.
But yes, Sharia law. But the whole country now is moving to the right on these issues.
They want to criminalize homosexual behavior there.
They do.
And that's about the government, you know, looking at its right flank and trying to stay in power.
Yeah. On the other hand, in Jamaica, which has been a traditional hotbed of homophobia and discrimination and violence, they have actually acceded to the pleas of gay activists and rejected a visit by the very anti-LGBT U.S. pastor, Stephen Anderson. He was supposed to come give a speech at the University of the West Indies, which, by the way, rescinded the invitation after complaints.
Well, he wants us to be stoned to death.
Yep.
And he's also a Holocaust denier.
It's a neat little package.
It sure is. And he's banned by a bunch of countries. Canada, the United Kingdom, South Africa, and Botswana have also kept him out.
Yeah.
Trans people aren't being treated so well in Britain either. There's a trans inmate there named Marie Dean, 50 years old. She's on a hunger strike in a Lancashire prison because she's being held in an all-male prison, and the Ministry of Justice will not recognize her as a woman. And there are other trans inmates at this facility who committed suicide within the last year, and she's expected to die in 3 or 4 weeks if she stays on this hunger strike.
Mm. Meanwhile, the European Court of Justice has told European countries to stop doing their little physical testing of gay asylum seekers from other countries. You come from, say, the Middle East or Africa, you're LGBT, you go to a European country asking for asylum because you've been so mistreated in your home country, and they suddenly want to test you to make sure you're
yep.
gay. So they do as bad things as the Egyptian police who are rounding up gay men at parties.
Anal probes.
Yeah. Or some relentless investigation of your life to try to prove that you're lying about this. And then, so the European Court of Justice has said, cut it out. You have to stop treating people like that.
Well, they're still treating people badly in Tunisia. An LGBT demo there against the criminalization of sexual freedom and discrimination versus women was busted up by plainclothes cops for your own safety. There were 12 demonstrators. Two were arrested. Very brave. These people are so brave to stick their necks out in these places.
Tunisia has the reputation of being one of the countries after the Arab Spring that had succeeded the most in putting in progressive policies, but there is still an inordinate amount of homophobia. The activists announced this small demonstration. There are only about a dozen of them, and the government banned it on the grounds of public safety, and the cops came charging in when they went out there and tried to hold up a rainbow flag. Might as well be Russia.
We told you about how basically all of Latin America, most of Latin America, was ordered to do same-sex marriage through this
American Human
Rights Court.
Yeah.
Well, in Panama, the LGBT group there and our own freedom to marry is seeking that a high court judge in Panama be recused from the case or barred from the case because he's spoken out very publicly to the media about how bad he thinks same-sex marriage is.
Yeah, it turns out that this ruling by the Inter-American Court of Human Rights is not going to go down so easily in these countries.
In Toronto, we told you about the silver daddy there who was charged with two murders of gay men.
Yep.
Who had disappeared. Well, he's a landscaper. And they have found they're charging him with three more murders. His name is Bruce MacArthur. He has been putting his victims into planters. They are now checking planters all over the city, big ones.
God.
See if they can find more bodies because there's a lot of unsolved murders.
John Wayne Gacy.
They're not all gay. Yeah. They're not all Middle East. He was rather indiscriminate in his crimes.
Mm.
And he met some of these people on the Silver Daddy website.
Mm.
In Russia, the high court has overturned the decision to deport the Uzbek gay journalist, Kudoberdi Nurmatov. He wrote under the name Ali Feruz for the paper that exposed what was going on in Chechnya.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been held in detention in Moscow for 6 months. And he's now been given permission to go to Germany. So.
And this was just because he did expose what was going on in Chechnya.
Right. And the new president of Zimbabwe doesn't sound any better on our stuff than the last one.
Well, he couldn't be worse. He could not be worse.
Well, he said to Richard Quest, an out gay journalist at CNN when he was being interviewed,
who used to work at Gay USA,
Zimbabwe is open for business, but homosexuality is banned in the Constitution, and it's my duty to uphold the Constitution.
Ay, ay, ay. Well,
all right.
Someday.
Okay, and okay.
All right. AIDS news?
Yes.
Well, we're very sorry to hear about the death of Dennis Perrone. I met Dennis because I was working on medical marijuana for years.
72, big gay and AIDS activist,
yep.
Got involved in the movement, for marijuana after the death of his partner, Jonathan West, who died of AIDS in 1990, and he wanted to do something to make things better. And he's survived by his longtime partner and later husband, John Eastwistle, who was also an activist.
He was born in the Bronx, I think, and went to Vietnam in the 60s. And in going to Vietnam, he passed through San Francisco, and he said, "Whoa, this is paradise. I'm coming back here." And he did. After he got out of the service, and he came to San Francisco with 2 pounds of pot in his duffel bag. He said he kissed the ground when he got to San Francisco because he was so happy to be back in the U.S. and to have 2 pounds of pot in his bag. He became a part of the scene, the hippie scene, sort of, in San Francisco, and grew and sold pot, but really got into the medical, really kind of invented medical marijuana, is given some of that credit.
They passed it in statewide in 96.
There. Yes, he was an advocate for legalization and was one of the fundamental people making that happen.
There he is.
Yeah, and a really nice guy and a big gay activist,
yes.
Too, in San Francisco.
And AIDS activist,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he is survived by his husband, John Entwistle.
Yes.
And really a hero in the medical marijuana movement.
Right.
Other AIDS news in Florida, not so nice. The public supermarkets. Have you ever been in the public supermarket?
I don't think so. I used to go to the Piggly Wiggly down there. That's what it's called.
Well, we shopped at the Piggly Wiggly in Denver when I was a teenager. Publix is quite an elaborate and lovely supermarket chain, and I am shocked to hear how they treat their employees. It turns out that they want to cancel, they have refused insurance coverage for PrEP, for Truvada, pre-exposure prophylaxis pills for their employees.
They have a nice zero rating from the Human Rights Campaign.
Shocking. That's hard to achieve as a, a business. There aren't a lot of businesses with maybe Hobby Lobby. They've had many discrimination complaints, it turns out. So Publix is not quite the paradise it appears, and they've offered no explanation. They've been asked, why won't you cover PrEP for your employees? It would be so much cheaper for you to do that than to pay for their treatment should they become infected with HIV. And they just, nothing. They're not saying a word. Nothing.
Now, last
them.
July, we got a new director of the CDC, but even though there's a flu epidemic that seems to be sweeping the nation, she's had to resign because it was discovered that she bought tobacco stocks after she was appointed head of the CDC and other stocks, and she was fired by a big pharma executive who's the new head of HHS, Alex Azar. Wow.
Well, I don't know how
Brenda
tobacco
Fitzgerald,
stocks are
goodbye.
Doing these days, but I would suspect that was a stupid move, and she should be. But they're very diversified these days, so maybe they're doing well.
Okay.
Entertainment news.
Sure.
All right. Well, let's start with the bad news. Mark Salling.
Yes.
35 years old. You will remember him as Puckerman on Glee. What a lovely character he was. I certainly didn't know anything about him personally, but Glee fans will remember him with great affection. Well, he has just committed suicide. He was just about to be sentenced on March 7th for his conviction on possessing thousands of pictures of child pornography.
Yeah, kiddie porn.
A very troubled guy,
right.
And very sad to hear of his story and his death.
Well, speaking of which, I saw a play called America is Hard to See. This is a play developed by the Life Jacket Theater Company at the theater called Here by a guy named Travis Russ. This dares to humanize people on the sex offender registry. That's a picture. The guy on the left is playing a gay character who has sex with a high school student, played by the guy on the right there. It's a very daring show. You go kind of uncomfortable about what are these guys. They live in a little tiny community in the middle of sugarcane fields in Palm Beach County. And they're basically required to be there. They can't leave the county. But it is somewhat a story of redemption. There's a pastor, a local pastor, who deals with the challenge of, can I welcome these people? And I thought it was one of the best things in the theater that I've seen in a long time. It involves music, but it's a small theater. You're very intimate with these people. They tell you what their crimes were, and yet, you know, you are brought into, you know, first of all, it certainly teaches you what you go through when you're on the registry. Your life is almost over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go anywhere. It's very hard to get work. You're monitored for your whole life. Your picture's on the internet for the rest of your life. So don't do it. But on the other hand,
there are a lot of people, as we have discussed ad nauseum on this show for many, many years, there is a wide range of people who wind up on these sex registries, from the really heinous to people who are just caught having sex in public and are not having anything to do with underage or anything, just people having sex, and they end up on the sex registry.
I committed as many sex crimes as I could when I was, a young man, because sodomy was illegal in New York, and I have friends my age who were arrested for consensual adult sodomy in New York in the 1970s.
Right.
And I could have ended up on a list for this.
Well, many people did. So what's the name of this play again?
It's called America is Hard to See. This is a theater company like Tectonic, which did the Matthew Shepard plays, that worked for 2.5 years interviewing people, developing this thing. It was one of the best things I've ever seen. It said here, it's only there for a couple of weeks. So, and I'm going to write a full review in the Gay City News that I'll put up at the end of the week.
Okay. All right. Well, let me switch themes by asking you a question to which I already know the answer. Did you watch the Grammys?
I did watch some of it in the beginning. Very little.
You fooled me.
Okay.
Well, I
wanted to see what James Corden did, but he didn't have much to do.
No, he didn't have much to do. The gayest thing was Patti LuPone singing Cry for Me, Argentina.
I watched that on the internet.
It was pretty fabulous.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Yeah. And I thought I saw something bad. To me, the best performance of the night, and everybody has their favorites, was Rihanna. Although, if you read the real original lyrics to that song, Wild Thoughts, you'll be really grossed out. They did a cleaner version on the Grammys, but DJ Khaled was part of this whole performance. And I thought I heard him say at one point, no gays up in here. And I kept searching the internet and searching for some mention of this, and I couldn't find it. And finally I found a transcription of the lyrics, and it turned out what he said was no games up in here. And I thought, I was actually relieved, because I didn't want to think there was that directly homophobic a statement.
And Hillary Clinton made a surprise appearance.
Otherwise, almost all male.
Okay. Yeah. I also saw a bad play this week, and sadly it was bad because it was by Terrence McNally, the great gay, openly gay playwright. It's called Fire and Air at the Classic Stage. And it was directed by John Doyle, who's the artistic director of this company. But it's about Diaghilev, played by Douglas Hodge, and Nijinsky, there they are, played by a guy named James Cusati Moyer. It's very gay and very homoerotic. They were lovers for a time. But you never got a sense of why Diaghilev who developed the Ballet Russe, was a genius. He's sort of portrayed as a crazy man-child. But it was nice to see Marsha Mason back on the stage. She plays the maid.
Dancing?
She plays the maid. But I love her.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry about that play.
Well, we also love Nora Burns, performance artist, who she put together a great show called David's Friend a couple of years ago that we saw down at
Dixon Place.
And she's bringing it back to Joe's Pub here in New York on February 15th at 9:30 p.m. It's about her, New York in the 80s, I guess, and her friend David, who died.
AIDS.
Yeah, and it's moving, it's fun, it's smart.
Great show.
Really, really good show. Yeah. David's Friend at Joe's Pub.
And I think we're going to be looking in on the memorial service for Liz Smith this week, and open to the public on Friday at noon at the Majestic Theater.
Don't tell them. It'll be even more crowded.
No,
we won't be able to get in.
You can go. I mean, there's usually room. It's at 247 West 44th Street where Phantom of the Opera plays.
And I saw a movie at a screening this week that is nominated for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars, A Fantastic Woman. It is the entry from Chile, and it stars a trans actress, Daniela Vega, and it's the story of a trans woman and her male partner who dies. I'm not giving anything away because that happens at the beginning of the movie, and then it's all about her relationship with his family and the hospital and the police and her life in general. I saw it with friends. We came out and I said, so what'd you think? And one of them said, I think it's a solid B. And I would agree with that. It's a good movie. It's well worth seeing. It's a little slow. She's pretty terrific as the star, and we'll keep an eye on it at the Oscars.
So have you watched Call Me By Your Name yet?
No.
Okay. Well,
somehow I have a resistance to
not
that.
Not to spoil anything, but the director is now talking about a sequel, maybe many sequels to this movie. And, you know, he moved the timeline back. It was set in 1987 in the book. He put it in 83, and then he says, then I have to deal with AIDS. AIDS was around. But he now says that he's going to deal with, he wants to deal with AIDS and move it up for a couple of years. But he says, Elio, the young character there, played by Timothée Chalamet, is not necessarily going to turn out to be gay.
Well, also in the Oscar category, Mudbound, we told you, got several nominations, although not for Best Picture, although it's gotten a lot of good press. I haven't seen it yet. I want to. But one of its nominations was the first woman ever nominated for Best Cinematography.
In 90 years!
Rachel Morrison. Well, Rachel Morrison is an out lesbian.
Yes. There she is at work.
Yes. And Dee Reese, of course, who directed the movie, is an out lesbian, has been a guest here on Gay USA when she made her first film, Pariah, which was wonderful. So congratulations to Rachel Morrison.
We have
Morrison.
A picture of Rachel with the rest of the
crew
from Mudbound.
Yes.
Editing,
music, makeup.
Rachel
Dee
also.
Dee Reese in the middle, who's the director.
Rachel also shot Fruitvale Station, which was a terrific movie.
And Cake with Jennifer Aniston, which was also a terrific movie.
And she wants girls to look at what she's doing and think, maybe I can do that thing.
So congratulations to Rachel for the nomination. So are you continuing to follow Johnny Versace?
I did watch the second episode, and I mean, the violence in it, which is, you know, you don't even know if it's real or if it's imagined.
Well, so you don't know whether it's real or imagined that he was HIV positive, Johnny Versace. The series is basically stating that, and the family denies it, and there's no real proof.
So what's going on with this production?
Well, some of it is fantasy. And there was they took out a full-page ad of a review from Variety that called it, you know, brilliant because it's going to deal with homophobia and self-loathing and all of this. I think that gets more fleshed out later on. We haven't seen enough of that yet, but to be seen.
My problem remains that the Andrew Cunanan character is portrayed as so crazy.
I don't have any trouble with that.
That it's like, how could anybody be taken in by this guy?
Donatello Versace says he didn't have HIV. He had ear cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know and may never know the truth of that. They're rolling the credits.
And at Sundance, the top prize went to a drama about conversion therapy.
The Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Yeah.
Young lesbian sent to a conversion therapy camp. And watch for Nancy Pelosi as a judge on Drag Race All-Stars coming up this season.
The minority leader in the House.
At least the Democrats are going someplace new for votes. All right, see you next week.